We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. Today, I want to talk to you. Has anyone ever been hangry? Like, hangry. Like, you know, not just angry with an H. Like, you're so hungry, you just become someone else. You make bad decisions. You don't even know how to curb that craving. You are so hungry, you start doing things crazy. Anybody? Julie believes I wrote this message for myself. She does. She will attest to that. But the fact is, did you know that the idea of being hangry is biblical? Did you know that today I want to teach you, I want to preach to you, I want to talk to you about this message I'm calling hanger management. Hanger management. And of course, in this situation, we all have our inner child, don't we? In this situation, the hunger may not always be food. Maybe the craving you have, that thing that is making you crazy because you're so hungry for it, you can still be hangry on other things. It doesn't have to just be food. However, I'll tell you, you get around me, around a football game, and the delivery guy hasn't showed up yet. Come on. Has anybody gotten so into what they were doing? They've been working so long that they totally forget what time it is. Just in the last few weeks, I decided to actually, I built a picket fence with one of my friends, and it wasn't yet white. And so I was going to paint this picket fence. And I said, okay, this should only take me a few hours. Let's get this thing done. How many know a few hours on any home project is never a few hours? And so I started, I had my running on dunks, I had my big iced coffee, I was ready to roll, you know? And the fact is, I got into this thing, and I just went and went and went. And this few hours turned into six-ish, and it was unreal. But I didn't get up until I was done. Is there anyone in here like that? Like, no, I started this, I'm going to finish this. I'm not going to look outside my window and have it mock me for weeks. I'm going to finish this. And so what did I do? I went ahead and I finished it. But man, when I came inside, it was like a beast. You know, like, I have kids, so I watch Beauty and the Beast, okay? When the beast finds out he has guests that he didn't invite and he just starts getting crazy, he starts freaking out. Julie's like, Chad, have you eaten? I'm like, why? Why would you even ask me that? She's like, grab a Snickers, you know, or whatever. And so the fact is, you can be hangry and it can affect your decision making. And so I'm going to prove to you that this is biblical. I want to talk to you today about Jacob and Esau. And so we're going to be in Genesis 25. I'm going to start a little earlier than the text I'm going to be using because I want to give you, you know, a preface and I want to give you some understanding to the family dynamic, okay? So pick it up with me. Genesis 25, starting in verse 21, it says, Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayers and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. Why is this happening to me? Anyone ever said that to God? Yeah, that's biblical too. And the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older brother, your older son will serve your younger son. Continuing. So this is prophetic, by the way. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. Wowza. Heartburn, ladies. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. Picking up here in verse 27, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Do you see the opposites of these brothers? You know, you have Esau, the woodsman, the man of the fields. You've got Jacob, right? And he's the guy that's like, you know, maybe a little bit more like Gordon Ramsay. Well, no, Gordon Ramsay didn't have a quiet temperament, did he? But he was a little bit more the chef in the kitchen, right? And so it goes back to this, and it says, Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game while Esau brought home, But Rebekah loved Jacob. Continuing. And one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Say exhausted and hungry. This dude was hangry. He was hangry. And so it continues, and it says, Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. This is why Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. All, so if you have a friend named Big Red, just call him Big Edom, I guess. But look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is, oh wait, I skipped over 31. You guys got to call me out on that. I expect you to help me here. 31, all right, Jacob replied, but trade me your right as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Continuing, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. That doesn't even sound good. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. That was a serious hangry story. When I think about this, you know, after going through the whole campfire stories, one of the things I've been doing is thinking about life principles in every situation. You know, that's pretty good when you're reading the Bible to think of life principles from the Bible. I would really encourage that. But some of the things that kind of come up to me, I look at this and I'm just like, man, there's so many things here. I want to talk kind of from the angle of Esau, because it says that he ended up having contempt for his birthrights. He ended up having disdain. He ended up, you know, considering it all worthless. He ended up just having this like, I don't even remind me kind of thing to our promises, his promises in that time. But the fact is, how many know it didn't have to go like that for Esau? How many know that God knows what we're going to do, but it doesn't mean he meant that we had to do it? I think that's a big difference, because from the very beginning, we read that in the beginning of the scripture, it says, look, the older brother is going to serve the younger brother. So it was already prophetic. It was predicted. God knew this was going to happen, but that was Esau's decision. And Esau, in a momentary decision, made a bad, permanent decision. And in your life, I don't know what you're hungry for. Hopefully you've got drive. Hopefully you desire things that are good. But the fact of the matter is that hunger, if it's outbalanced, if it's out of balance, it can become hangry. And then you can make bad decisions, and those bad decisions, they're going to echo, they're going to ripple into your future. Are you hearing me? Okay, and so as I begin to think about all these things, I look at it and I go, Esau, what are you doing? And so number one, in your life, remember to wear your big boy girl or girl clothes, whatever it is. If you're a boy, wear your boy, you get it, whatever. We're staying away from that. All right, the fact of the matter is, in this situation, he was a man of the woods, so he needed to wear his big boy camos. All right? He needed to understand that as an adult, you don't make childish decisions because you don't feel good. As an adult, you shouldn't make childish decisions because you don't feel good. God gave us the ability to be powerful, to be victorious. He gave us the ability to control our emotions. Come on, your willpower is stronger than you think. Hello? You're like, well, this is just too hard. No, you can do it. God gave you the ability to say no. He gave you the ability to say yes. He gave you the ability to stand up. He gave you the ability to sit down. He gave you the ability to speak up or shut up. He gave you the ability. So put on your big boy pants, put on your big girl pants, and go do life well. 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 Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, the Bible said. And so Esau was a hunter and a man of the wilderness. What did that mean? He was the tough one out of the two, right? Or stereotypically, the tough one out of the two. Yet that day, he forgot to actually make tough decisions. Have you ever seen somebody that they try and be the part, but they don't act the part? It's like they play the part, but they're not really that. You know what I mean? Like ever since I got a motorcycle and I ride and stuff, you see so many people that, you know, all week they're this way and then they throw on the leathers for the weekend. And I'm like, come on. That's cool. I mean, just come on, you know, like just understand who you are. You can be a weekend warrior, but there are some people that they're just not the real deal. And I want my life. I want to be the real deal. I don't want to be a fabrication. I don't want to be disingenuous. I want to be authentic in every area. And so in this situation, he looked tough. He sounded tough, but he didn't make the right decisions in tough times. Come on, you can do that. You can make the right decisions in tough times. You need to be ready for your day. You can't fly off the handle because your emotions wanted to bring you there. Have you ever found yourself in a place and you don't know why you were there? You don't understand why you were there, but it was just your emotions that brought you there? You know, you have that argument with that person and you fly off the handle and then like 10 minutes later, you're like, what have I done? I don't think I even meant that. I just wanted to win the argument. Come on. We've got to make better decisions. Okay. So we need to remind ourselves that we can. We were created in the image of God, correct? Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them, correct? So remind yourself that you were created in his image. And if that is the case, then I'm made to be a conqueror. Because our God's not weak, and our God, he's not somebody that is going to make these kind of situations or these decisions. He's not going to falter and fail. And if we're created to be like him, the Bible calls us what? More than conquerors? It says in Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if he is in us, we have the ability to see it through. And so in those moments, the hangry moments, you need to learn how to manage that stuff. The number one thing I would say in this situation, when I'm thinking about Esau and what happened, I'm just like, number two, why didn't you remember to pack a snack? Why didn't you do that? You could have just packed a snack, man. You could have grabbed Snickers. You could have just been prepared for the thing that clearly was a weakness for you. Think ahead. Don't live so in the moment that you put yourself in a weak place. You have to use prudence. Work on preparation. If Esau had thought ahead, he could have curbed his appetite. He wouldn't have made such a bad decision. And I know that if you think ahead and prepare for the what ifs in life, you can find ways not to end up back at that person's house, back on that bar stool, back on that website, back in that conversation, back where you shouldn't be. If you just use a little bit of preparation, if you just think, okay, I know my weakness. The question is, do you know your weakness? Because I don't know if you know it, but the devil knows your weakness. And he loves to push the button that affects you because he knows it affects you. And anything he can do to affect you so that you'll stop living for him, he's going to do. What is your weakness? Pack a snack. Be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. Look what it says in Proverbs 22:3. It says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. That hits it right on the head, doesn't it? The nail right on the head. Here, let me give you another scripture that is just as perfect. Are you ready? Let's skip five chapters forward to Proverbs 27:12. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You're like, Chad, you just read that. I know, God repeated himself. How often does God repeat himself? Not often. So when he does, we should pay attention. Five chapters in the same book, we see the exact same thing. A prudent person. Somebody that is prepared. They see the dangers ahead and they prepare for it so they don't go, what do I do now? You're like, Chad, I just like to be fluid. Well, whenever you're fluid too much, you actually are proving you don't have a foundation. You can either build your house on the rock or you can be fluid on the sand. Remember to think ahead, pack a snack, whatever that is, whatever the snack means to you, whatever that is. Maybe it's the accountability. Maybe it's that phone a friend. Maybe it's, you know, charging your phone not in your bedroom. Maybe it's, you know, not going to that computer. Maybe it's not calling that person when you feel that way. Maybe it's not going back to that place that you know you're going to see that person. Prepare. Don't position yourself for failure. Well, Chad, my willpower is strong. No, your wisdom's weak. All right, I'm moving on. It got really quiet in here. Number three, it's not the stew, it's you. You know, I can just imagine the situation. He comes in from a really, really long day. Maybe it was days, maybe it was a trip. You know, I didn't walk in his shoes, but I know lentil soup is not that good. Just saying. And I can just imagine as he came in. Let's go back. Look, it says in verse 29. Let's go back to verse 29 for a minute. It says, one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. He was hangry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. The point is, hangry doesn't look good on anybody. The fact is, can you imagine? It says that Jacob was a lot more comfortable at home. So Jacob, he's doing his thing. He's in the stew, and I mean, I don't know what he's singing, what he's doing. He's like, this is good. You know, and you can just imagine Esau coming in, and Esau smells like the fields. He looks like the fields. He's ripped because he's been walking 20 miles. He's just absolutely famished. He is out. I mean, this sober guy, this guy's like, hey, what's up? It's much nicer in the shade. And he's like, boy, you better give me that soup. And it's funny how the tough one, because they didn't use wisdom, was at mercy of the one that may not have had the stereotypical look, may have, but I'll tell you, Jacob was pretty brilliant. He was brilliant. And I, you know, let me just pause for a minute, because people are like, wait a minute, how on earth would God even bless that? How would, because if you look in the, later on, sorry, if you look later on, you come to find out that Jacob had to deceive his father to get the blessing. And we go, oh God, how on earth would you even allow that? You got to remember, this is before the Ten Commandments even existed. This was a moral compass thing. This was a yes and yes and no is no and decisions. And Esau made his bed and Jacob made the move. And so you just need to understand, this was before that. This was like a big moral compass time. So anyway, the whole point is, he's here. He's got his stew. He's got it smelling awful good. Esau walks in and he's like, you got to give me that. The fact is this. It's not that the stew, whatever your stew is, it's not that it's that good. It's not that you're like, oh, this is life-changing. Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw Seinfeld and the soup guy. You know? It's not that life-changing. You're not going to change your life for the bowl of stew. But the fact of the matter is, you think the stew is that good, but it's more about you than the stew. It's about the lack of preparation on your part. It's about, reactive rather than proactive. It's about understanding that we don't have to give in to every whim, every desire. You have the ability to say no. But he hadn't positioned himself with wisdom. Hangry doesn't look good on you. And again, Julie will attest, it doesn't look good on me. In fact, I was thinking about it. Have you ever been to a store hangry? So I remember Julie sent me out to get, I think it was like breadcrumbs or something, for something. It was something that wasn't good, but I'm sure it was going to be part of something good, like breadcrumbs. I'm like, breadcrumbs are not as good as Swiss cake rolls. They're not as good as Ben and Jerry's. And I was so hungry, and I've got like, I don't have a sweet tooth, I have sweet teeth. You don't understand. Like, I was back in the gym this week, which is good, but I'm telling you, it's a constant struggle, battle, fight. But the fact is this, she sent me to get something so simple, so small, and I came back with like the whole store. The whole store. I just looked at myself and I was like, goodness gracious, I gotta get this thing off me. the whole store. And guess what I didn't have? The breadcrumbs. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I was so hangry. I didn't even hear what she sent me for. I was just like, all right, I got to go get some food. All right, and so I got food, and then she was quick to just shove something in my mouth and send me back out the door to get what she needed. Anyone been there? You lose your ability sometimes to think straight. You get in this place and you're just like, man, the stew is that good. That thing is that good. The world slows down. Everything shuts down. I know some fellas that might be hangry for relationship. They see a girl and they're like, hey, the world slows down. Everything fades away. All they're doing is focusing on the, and it's like, dude, you're missing the game. The game is on right now. What are you doing? It's mad, mad love. It's absolutely crazy. But the fact is this, the stew is not that good. It's not the stew, it's you. So it's really biblical, this whole hangry thing. So being so, you can be so hungry. When I think about being hangry, it's being so hungry you become impatient and irrational. It's not the place you want to find yourself, especially when making life decisions. You can make simple decisions. You can make really bad decisions simply because of being in a bad place mentally. Being in a bad place. If you guys remember that little halt, you know, talking about, you know, in the counseling classes that I took back in the day and some of the other things, I always talked about halt. Look, you shouldn't make big decisions. You shouldn't make big moves when you're hangry, when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and when you're tired. Halt. You got to slow down because the fact is your perception, the discretion you use, it's not balanced. You've lost your equilibrium, so to speak, and you need to slow down. So slow down, reconsider, sleep on it, phone a friend. Yeah? But the biggest thing is when we're talking about this, Esau, he didn't have to do this. And it reminds me, don't do something in the moment you will regret for a lifetime. Don't make a decision in the moment that you could regret for a lifetime. Don't make that permanent decision on temporary feelings. Because you can make such a bad decision just because you felt like it. And everyone tells you to follow your heart and your emotions and your feelings and do more of what makes you happy. And it's like, well, that made Esau happy for a moment. But rather than just doing what makes you happy in the moment, consider what will happen for a lifetime. We've got to recalibrate. We've got to reconsider. We've got to rethink some of these things. And so, you know, I was thinking about it. For some of you that know, Brent Flandrina's in town from Texas with his girlfriend Lauren. And he just told me that they were hiking like 15 miles. And I was like, I'm going to pray for you. But it made me think of this thought. Like when you're hiking, when you're going somewhere, you don't make navigation decisions or you make them on mountaintops. You don't make decisions on your navigation in valleys. Why? You've got to get high enough to actually have some sight of where you're going, where the layout is, what's going on. In life, you've got to make decisions on mountaintops, not valleys. Why? Because you're making these huge decisions that are shifting your direction, but you're doing it in a valley where you can't see over this mountain or this mountain. And you hope you're right, but if you would have just stayed the course and got on the mountain and then looked around and then made the decision, don't make decisions off of impulse. I was thinking about it. If I started this whole message by saying, I want to talk to you today about the story of a man who gave every promise that was rightfully his, you would have thought that it must have been at the mercy of a sword, not of soup. And so from the outside looking in, it looks crazy. But in your world, whatever you're hangry for seems very real. It seems that important. But I've got to remind you, it's not the stew, it's you. That thing, and look at that. There's so many things that you can be hungry for that are healthy. They're successful things. You can, you want to climb that ladder. You want to be an owner of a business. You want to do this, you want to do that. Those are healthy things. But how you get there has to be healthy too. Are you hearing me? You don't do things, you know, under the table to try and get ahead. You have to be above board if you're going to have God's blessing anyway. And so, yeah, you would have thought it was by the spoon. No, it was a spoon in a bowl. You know, it was, the spoon was mightier than the sword that day. It was Jacob in the kitchen with a ladle. I'm going to stop. The fact of the matter is this. I'm sorry, you're living this in. The thing that could take you out is not likely going to be the sword. It's rather it's going to be an unhealthy decision to fix a temporary problem. See, we always protect ourselves from the sword. But oftentimes, it's the little things in life that steal the great things. When you don't protect your angles, when you don't have people in your world protecting your blind spots, when you don't have the right people in your world that are willing to talk to you about your blind spots, I'll tell you, you're no friend if you see somebody doing something destructive to their own life and you just choose to not say anything because you'd rather be their friend. You're not being their friend. Being their friend is putting the friendship at risk for the sake of their well-being. Everyone thinks like, well, what'll they think of me? Who cares? They may not be, you may not have this opportunity again. Are you going to be for them or is it about you? Being for them is being willing to take the risk to protect them. About you is just caring about what they think of you. There are too many people that call themselves friends, but it's really about them. Find a few good friends and cherish them. Be willing to, you know, the Bible says that when you can win back a brother, man, you're even further ahead. You've got even a better relationship, you know? But man, to have somebody that claims to be your friend and then they don't even want to protect you, that's cray-cray. The next thing, number four, you got to learn to think past lunch. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. The only thing he could think of was lunch. The only thing he could think of was his immediate need. The only thing he could think of was the now. You know, I just want to live in the now. That's fine, but make good decisions in the now for your tomorrow, for your then. Yeah? We've got to. And so you've got to think past lunch. And I promise you, the stew ain't that good. It ain't that good. He or she ain't that good. That thing ain't that good. It's not worth every promise that God has given you. Hello? It's not worth the promise that God has for your future. It's not worth it. It's not the stew. It's you. And you've got to think past lunch. You got to think past that thing. How many times have we seen people that were so hungry for star power and stardom and fame, they reach it. They don't know what to do. Their life falls apart. They lose everything they had. And they lived for that moment. And when that moment finally came, they're like, whoa, what do I do now? I'm 22. You hear me? Like, you've got to think beyond the stew. Because even if it's a healthy thing you're striving for, what happens when you achieve it? What about the next thing? Do you have any thoughts beyond it? Having vision, you know, I took a bike ride just recently with a group last Sunday to a place called Prospect Hill out in Harvard. And the visibility was so good. It was so good that we could literally, from where we were standing in Harvard, we could see the mountains in New Hampshire. So it's like, okay, well, that's Wachusett over here. And we're like, what are those mountains over there? And we're like, open up the GPS and we stretch down and we're like, oh. So we can see beyond the state line right now and we can see New Hampshire mountains. I'm like, man. Vision is everything. If you tried to go out there today with the visibility issues today, you'd be like, I can't even see down the bottom of this hill. But so many people live their life with such bad vision, they don't even know what the bottom of the hill looks like. They haven't made any plans for the future. How many know that God can only bless our, you know, the Bible says that we make the plans, but he establishes them, right? So the fact is, he can't bless what we don't plan. He can change our plans, but if we don't have a plan, he can't bless anything. Got to have vision. Without vision, people cast off restraints, the Bible says. People perish for the lack of vision. You got to have vision. You got to think past lunch. The stew ain't that good, I promise you. Momentary fulfillment or pleasure is never worth the price. And so don't allow your emotions to hijack your decisions and rob you of your promises. Ephesians 4:26 says this. And don't sin by letting anger control you. It's anger. It's okay. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. What's it saying? It's saying that actually anger can control you. And that you can harbor those things and gain bitterness with it. And if you continue to hold that thing, if you continue to live with that thing, it's going to skew your life. It's going to skew your vision. It's going to rob you of good things. It's going to rob you of God's best for your life. So today, when we hear people speak of God, we often hear them, you know, if you think about it, what do we always hear? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Didn't have to be Jacob. In fact, rightfully, it should have been Esau. It was a decision that robbed him of God's blessing. It was a decision that robbed him of his birthright. That's crazy. It's a decision. You've got to focus on the decisions. Remember we talked about what momentum is? Momentum is focusing on doing right in the moment. And when you start to tag moments together of doing the right thing, it creates positive momentum. And the same can be said about, you know, negative momentum. You go on a bend and you just keep making bad decisions. The swinging goes the other way and you're starting to see bad things. I mean, come on. Hanky wave. People know. Let's be people who make wise decisions led by healthy conviction. Number five, this is something that's interesting. When I read this story, it's like, know who is serving the stew. I know him. Brothers don't shake hands, they're supposed to hug. I know him, he's my brother. But just because you're close to somebody doesn't mean they're always for you. But they're blood. Now look, I'm not telling you to become overly suspicious about everyone and your cat. Well, you should probably your cat, because they're just not right in the head. If I didn't tell you that, I'd be feline. Oh, yeah. That just happened. Tell somebody. That was horrible. I wasn't sure if I was going to let that one out. It came through my head. Slipped. Feline. Listen, you don't need to become overly suspicious of everyone. But just know who's around you. Know who's for you. Know who's really for you. I'll tell you, the people that are really for you are the people that are willing to change their day when you're in need. The people that are willing to go out of their way, lose a little bit of sleep for you, lose a little bit of energy for you, people that are willing to do something for you. Know who is for you. And again, in verse 31 through 33, all right, Jacob replied, because remember Esau had asked for the food. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your right as the firstborn son. Wow. I don't know if your friends will be that blunt about their intentions in your world. But the fact is, it says, so Esau swore on an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. You got to know who's among you, who's around you. And I know in my life, there have been people that I thought, man, we're going to run this town together forever. You know, there have been people in my life I just thought, ah, this is a lifelong brother. This is somebody this is going to be that kind of person in my life. And years down the road, something changes. I don't know what changes, but all of a sudden that person isn't there anymore. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And that's not to say anything like super negative about this person or that person, but I'm glad that I didn't entrust everything and just, you know, anchor down saying, this is the person. Yeah. Does it make any sense? Okay. So, again, know who is serving. And I often think about the devil in the kitchen, really. Not that I'm trying to make Jacob the devil, but just in this situation, Esau made a bad decision based on somebody tempting him in one of his weak moments. But oftentimes I think about it, when I read this, I think, man, if the devil was in the kitchen, what's he making for me? You know, what is he looking to serve up? Oh, I know him. He's weak. I know them. They struggle with trust and they've got financial issues. It's coming their way. Watch what's going to happen now. Oh, man, I know that relationship. She's got trust issues. I'm going to make this look this way and see what we can spin here. Come on. The devil knows what to serve you. He knows exactly what's going to get a rise out of you. He knows exactly what could cripple you. But how many know just because he serves it doesn't mean you have to eat it? Last time I checked, you get to make the decision. Come on, you get to make the decision. Next time you start feeling tempted for something you know is not right, just focus on the devil in a really ugly apron. Trying to serve you something that is just nasty. And even though the top looks like toasted marshmallows, it's my world, okay? Just remember, it's nothing but a bowl of regret. It's nothing but a bowl of promises. They're going to be stolen. Come on, we've got to be smarter than that. We've got to be prepared, yeah? Okay, and lastly, the last point, don't let the stew make you stew. Don't let the stew make you stew. It says that then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights at the firstborn. As the firstborn. If in your life, I don't know what the proverbial stew is for you. But when you make bad decisions, you can't allow yourself to stew over those for the rest of your life. You can't allow it to change you. Yes, you made a bad decision. But who says you had to live there? Ever heard that concept of like, man, I'm walking through hell. Well, then keep on going. Yeah, this is horrible. And, you know, I'm in prison. Well, don't lock the door. We find our own prisons. We find our own hells. Oftentimes we're the one that walked into them, but it doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can make the right decisions to get out. Today's a new day. And what I know is that God wants to free you from the stew you're in, from the stuff you're into, the stuff that's holding you back, the problems in your life, the things that you shouldn't have eaten, the things that you shouldn't have touched, the things that even now you're thinking about going, oh, I wish that never happened. God wants to heal you of those things. He wants to give you a fresh start. He's the only one that can forgive us, that can cleanse us, that can give us a new start, and that can give us direction and purpose all at the same time.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.